Here we are. It's what is today? Today is June 24th. It's when I'm recording the show. This is show number 231, and my name is Larry Herbeck, Fox Live's Major Nelson. And joining me for this show is a I can't even say special guest anymore because you're usually on now.
I'm the somewhat less random guest.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it.
Okay. We'll
people wanted back. You spoke and you wanted more
Apparently, because I'm getting lots of messages over live saying please come back and co-host. By the way,
yes.
On that subject,
yes.
I'd like to thank you for putting on your Twitter that I was going to be on and people should send me messages.
Did I do that?
Yeah,
I guess I did do that.
You may have, and I may have been sitting in my office at the time, and I was seeing all the little notifications pop up, and I was like, what on earth? Because the rate of incoming messages just went up about 20x, and yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that.
Yeah, we so we always have, you know, 360s in our office on in the background, and we don't even hear, you know, we kind of don't even hear the sound anymore.
Yeah, but when you start
right when it starts
click, 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 like a couple times a minute, then yeah. All of a sudden it's like, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here?
So thank you for everybody that sent a message, and the greatest message you got over live was,
oh yeah, is this E?
So somebody sent you, your gamer tag is E, and they sent, yes, you a message saying, is this E?
Yes. And I just kind of let it go. I didn't know what to say to that.
Okay. All right, so this week on the show, if you've taken a look at the metadata, which is the fancy name for the words that describe the show, you've seen that I have Jeff Keighley on, who is a good friend of mine. He's he's a journalist laureate. I mean,
he's a pundit.
He's a pundit. He's a lot of different things, but he'll be joining me later on. We're going to talk about E3. And Steve Taylor from Wahoo Studios is going to talk about Band of Bugs. Ninja Bee Studios.
Cool.
Ninja Bee. Listen, he's from Wahoo, Ninja Bee, Band of Bugs. Let's see if I can get any more names in here. Anyway, Steve is going to join me. We'll talk about that title, which was out on arcade this week. In fact, I have something cool we're going to listen to that interview. Hang out. I'm going to give away a copy of the game during that interview.
Nice.
So
very nice.
That's something I'm going to do now. Is I want to give away a copy of the Band of Bugs.
Well, you don't want to give it away now.
No, not give it away now. I'm going to give it away during the interview.
Yeah.
Assuming. Yeah, I can do that. So what do you got for news this week, eh? What do we got for gaming news?
Was there gaming news this week?
I played Dirt. Did you play Dirt?
I've watched you play Dirt.
This is kind of it's got the coolest interface. The way kind of stuff comes at you and...
Yeah, it's actually... They did it. It's kind of innovative. It's cool. They put interesting data at a point when, you know, you're just expecting a plain loading screen, but they actually put cool stuff in there.
Yep.
They did some nice innovation.
Oh, it supports 1080p. I'll have to try that. That's right. It does support the wheel. Let's try the wheel. Try that. What else do I get here? Oh, look at this.
You have a wheel, don't you?
I don't have a wheel at home. I had one in my office someplace. It's in that box in the corner, I think.
Oh. Yeah, I don't have one either, but that might have something to do with the fact that we both fail at driving games. Oh,
miserably. So I just got a sealed plastic version of Overlord on my desk. Look at this.
Oh.
And look at this. It has a sticker on it.
Kind of cool.
Look at that. It has a sticker on it that says it's 9 out of 10 from Play Magazine.
Yeah, but that...
9 out of 10 from Play Magazine.
Yeah, you have to... I'll just say that you have to consider the source when you look at reviews.
But Overlord, there's a demo up on Xbox Live now, and I was just down the hall talking to somebody who was playing the game, and they said it's actually a lot of fun because your minions kind of go crazy, and they present things to you. Here you are, master, and whatnot. And so.
Now it supports online multiplayer, and there's co-op, but I don't know if the co-op is...
Dude,
online.
I am not your minion.
Yeah.
That's not the way it's going to work. So Overlord is...
I definitely need to play this.
It's coming out soon.
It's one of those ones I've been meaning to. It just sounds like fun.
Yeah.
But
demo's up on live now.
I should go play that.
So anyway, let's see.
Speaking of demos on live,
yes.
I did get the chance to just play a little bit of Project Soapied. I'm going to like that game.
So I have one of the guys on to talk about that, I think on my next show is when we're going to talk about that. So why don't you explain, because a lot of people downloaded it and they were like, wow, is that that's a busy screen.
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So it's a little hard on the eyes, I think, at first, just because you're like, wow, all these lights and things are flashing at you.
And it's
okay when you're not in a mission, you're in the training. But the second you get into a mission, there's so much going on at once that you've really kind of got to pick something.
So you're going to play that?
I'm going to play that. It reminds me a lot of, you know, kind of old school Wing Commander style gaming. There's some nice stuff in there where you're choosing which weapons do you want to develop. How do you want to arm your ship? There's some good gameplay in there.
So. You know what I did this week? I don't know if I think I told you this. I was so close to 9,000 gamer score, and I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday night last week. I was sitting in my office at home, and I'm like, you know, I really want to get. I just need like 25 or 30 extra points. I can't remember what it was. So I posted up on my Twitter.
Oh no!
I said, hey, I really want to get break 9,000. What game should I do it on? I got deluged with questions with Waysuit Over Live. They emailed me major@xbox.com. They were hitting me in the comment section, and I did it. I don't remember. I thanked him in my Twitter. I'll have to find out who it was. But there was one. It was Fantastic Four.
No.
Fantastic Four.
Oh, Fantastic Four. Okay.
Yeah, because you have to do some kind of combo where you're doing a combo together. And I literally, you boot the game up, go into the very, you don't even move when you spawn in, and you can get it like immediately.
Oh, oops.
So it was, it was kind of cool that way. So it was, so I did that. What else? Got that. What else did we do this week?
Well, that's a good segue into some non-gaming stuff. So for whatever reason, I'm on a movie kick. Maybe it's just because cool movies been coming out lately.
Right.
So I saw Fantastic Four.
And what did you think of it?
So with one exception, I'm willing to say fun movie, you know, 3 out of 5. Go see it if you like comic book action movies.
Right.
But there was one thing that was so distracting that it really bothered
Which
me.
Which was?
The single worst piece of product placement I have ever seen in my life.
What was it?
I mean, well, first, let me set this up.
Okay.
When you're watching a good movie,
yep.
And it's a you know, a movie where, hey, this is fantasy, and I've got to kind of let go and, you know, not think about the fact that this stuff doesn't actually happen.
Right.
You suspend disbelief for a minute, and you're not thinking about, you know, the
reality.
Real world. Right. Yeah. This was so bad, it, like, snapped me right back into reality and ruined the rest of the movie for me. So stop listening for the next, you know, 30,
spoiler,
60
spoiler,
seconds.
Spoiler.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's about 2/3 of the way through the movie.
Uh-huh,
and
right.
Reed Richards unveils the Fantastic Four air car that he's been building, which anyone who was a fan of the comic books will remember. And it shows up on remote control, and it's covered in Dodge logos, which the Dodge logos, I could live with that. Those weren't too bad. I mean, it had the little symbol on the nose plate, and
right.
Then the seats were actually what looked like nice Recaro racing seats.
Right,
with
Dodge logo. I've seen those.
And I could live with that, except it pulls up to the Fantastic Four, and the Human Torch looks at Mr. Fantastic and says, does it have a Hemi?
No.
Yeah. Does it have a Hemi? And Reed Richards goes, yeah. It ruined the rest of the movie for me.
That sucks.
Yeah. It was, I couldn't believe how blatant that was. You take the lines out and just show me the graphics, and I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
But to ask if it has a Hemi is just stupid.
Just over the top.
Yeah.
What else did you see?
Knocked Up.
Funny movie.
Hilarious movie.
Funny movie.
Went to see that with the girlfriend and two good friends, and we were in stitches
mm-hmm.
the entire time. It's from the guys who did 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yep.
So kind of same kind of humor. Really good.
Good.
And saw Surf's Up.
The Penguin movie.
Everybody loves Penguins.
Is this the last Penguin movie?
I hope not. Penguins are cool. So it's the last one I know of for a while.
I enjoyed playing the game. Did you play any of the game?
I have not yet.
It's just, you should play that game. Some people have messaged me that they tried playing it. And the demo's up. The demo's up on Xbox Live.
Right.
And it's just a fun, surfing. It's a surfing movie. Or a surfing game. It's fun.
I was going to say, yeah. No, good movie. I totally believe the game is good and intend to play it. But my gaming this week, I mean, there
it was lame. You were lame.
Well, there was the Soapy demo. I'm ashamed to admit I fired Crackdown up again. And
you did?
I did.
You're looking for secret orbs?
I'm sick and I need help. But the first step is admitting you have a problem.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm going to find all the hidden orbs. And other than that, I did a couple marathon Halo 2 stretches with some friends online.
Right.
Okay, so the usual, you know, long stretches of Halo 2.
Right.
But this week, I did upgrade my son's account to a gold account.
There was a bonding moment between you and your son.
There was, and took him on live for the first time. And I just want to put in, you know, a word right here for parental controls. They are your friends.
On your Xbox 360, yep.
Yep. So took him on live, met up with two friends, and took him into team training for a while.
And did he have fun?
He had a blast.
But let's tell the story of what happened the next morning.
So he was at my house that night, and So I sent him to bed at his usual bedtime and, you know, played another 5-6 hours with the friends, went to bed. Get up the next morning, and he always, like, he snaps awake at, like, 6 a.m. without an alarm clock. It's ridiculous. And usually when I get up, he's already, you know, fired up the 360 or he's watching TV or something. So I go downstairs. Sure enough, he's playing Halo 2. And
he's on live.
He's on live.
Right.
And, you know, but it's set up so that, you know, he can't accept friend requests.
Right.
He can't hear voice, all that kind of stuff, unless you're on his friends list. And no, I'm not giving out his gamer tag, and you can't be on his friends list, listeners. Thanks.
Stop asking.
But yeah, he's playing, and I don't remember what map he was on, but I just watched for like 5 seconds, and he's team killing.
He is?
Yeah. And I'm like, what are you doing? And the game
at all. He was that guy?
He was that guy. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm just playing like I do with my friends. And I'm like, okay, this stops right now.
So you had an intervention. That's great. That's great.
Let me explain. These people on the other end don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to do that with your friends
mm-hmm.
when they're sitting right next to you and you're in a custom game or playing.
So you had to give you. So you had to.
I had to explain that that's not cool, and that if that happened, people would send him negative feedback, and that if I saw that he was getting a lot of negative feedback, he was going to find himself not only grounded, but he was going to find himself without an Xbox Live account.
There you go. So
Dad knows these things.
Yeah, he sure does. Dad can go query the database. So you had to teach your son about the birds and I love bees, as it were.
Exactly.
That's ouch.
Yes. So when you put your kids on live, you got to make sure to give them the ABCs of, you know, here are the do's, here are the don'ts.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Be cool.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm so distracted. I'm sitting here in the office and I'm looking across the hall, and the guys that work on Video Marketplace are, you know, all around us.
Right.
You know, we're all in one big office here. And he's watching a South Park episode. I'm trying to figure out which one it is. this is the weirdest office. We've got people playing in games one side, this guy's watching South Park on the other.
He's doing quality control.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, he's checking an end code to make sure it came through fine. Mm-hmm. And
anyway,
there's people somewhere around here listening to music on their Zooms.
Yeah. It's a great place to work, yes it is. Let's see what else. Hey, actually, I want to point out, I upgraded, or I didn't, but Lithion, who works on the blog.
Yep.
He upgraded our blog this week, my blog this week, to Community Server 2007, which doesn't really mean a damn thing to anybody.
It's shinier and newer.
And faster. He also added, I don't know if you've seen this, E, but, you know, people go up to my blog at majornelson.com, they can register and use their gamer tag.
Right.
But what he added was, here, come over here, I'll show this to you.
I have to get up.
Underneath the person, when they comment, we added their presence data.
Oh, nice.
So Lithion got that in there. So anybody who's a gold, obviously, when they're gold, we can see what they're playing. So.
Last seen 14 hours ago, Xbox 360 dashboard.
So he added that in. So nice job on that, Lith, and we upgraded the site. And he added a couple other things in there as well.
Where has Lithion been? I'm trying to remember the last time I actually played.
We played Shadow. I got to tell you something. I've been after you all week to play Shadowrun.
Yes.
Because of that Mitch interview last week.
But your problem is you need to start playing earlier in the night, because you're like, do you want to play Shadowrun? It's like, I'm already in a party of 8 playing Big Team Battle. I'm not going to bail to go play Shadowrun.
Okay. Do you want to play Shadowrun tonight?
I can't. I'm going out to dinner.
Okay, here we go. Shadowrun, which is the big news this week for Shadowrun, is it is on the top 10 twice.
Yes.
So it is at number 10. The full version's at number 10.
The game's so nice, we played it twice.
Exactly. And then there's the demo hitting it right up the middle down at number 5. So last week, just the demo was on. This week, the full version is on. So people that listened to Mitch last week, obviously.
Yeah. Congratulations to Fossa.
So they broke the top 10. What else is in the top 10? Number 1 is Gears. This is just 360 titles.
Yes.
Gears, Forza Motorsport 2, everyone's playing that like mad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trading games or trading cars. I need to log in to see if anybody sent me any cars.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
I got to log in and do that.
I'll confess, I haven't taken my copy of Forza out of the shrink wrap yet.
Right. So Rainbow Six is still sitting at 3. Guitar Hero 2 is at 4. Shadowrun Demo 5. Call of Duty 3, 6. Tenchu Z Demo at 7.
Wow. Okay.
Number 8 is Prince of Persia. 9, yeah. Crackdown. Your old friend Crackdown. And then, yep, of course, 10, Shadowrun. So that's the top 10 for this week.
Well, I have a feeling there's a bunch of people like me who hadn't got around to the new Crackdown content yet.
Right.
Did you
like the harpoon?
I haven't. I've been orb hunting. I haven't gotten to it yet. So I haven't gone after any. I like orbs. Orbs are shiny.
Yeah, okay.
And I like, yeah. All anyways, right. I haven't done the harpoon yet.
Okay.
I haven't gone for any of the new achievements. I've just been orb hunting.
Now he's watching the DOA trailer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He's working really
across
hard
the hall
over there.
He's watching. Okay. Oh, no, this is the Rumble Roses trailer, actually.
Rumble. Oh, wow. Okay.
What is this?
Hang on. I have to get up again and see what's going on here.
So anyway, it's slightly distracting, isn't it?
That's Rumble Roses.
Wait. Yeah. I know. That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
So get to work over there.
Clearly Rumble.
Get to work over there. Speaking of Rumble Roses, there's actually a bunch of Rumble Roses content up on the blog. I didn't post this because it was just
random.
No, it's just there's so much content coming out.
I like the one you did where you did like a master. Here's all the content.
The one day roll up. Lately. I'm thinking of doing that because right now I post it like literally 15 minutes after it goes live. And I'm thinking of, instead of, you know, staying up late every night and doing that, I'm thinking of changing it around and really just, like, middle of the day, okay, here's what stuff that just went up.
Yeah.
And just call and just do one post. And then, so, if you guys have any opinion, what you want, one of the things that we did with the new site is Lithion Now, we had polls on many years ago. And we have the ability to do polls again.
When did you have polls on MN.com?
A long time ago. On the right-hand side, we used to be able to turn it on and turn it off. Remember, what was your favorite Halo map?
Oh, wow.
Remember? Okay.
Blast from the past.
Remember that? And we said a little, we actually are going to embed it in. I should do that this week and find out, you know, what would people rather have for their marketplace posts. So it's anyway, for what it's worth.
You're listening to your community.
I'm trying to. It's part of the conversation. I love talking to those guys and girls. Getting ready for E3?
No.
Well, all right. You're not. I am. Yeah, you're not. I am. I'm going to, we're going to stop down now, talk to Jeff Keighley, who is, who's, as we discussed earlier, is a journalist, and that is definitely DOA. that is definitely DOA. Oh, my Lord. I'm entirely distracted.
I'm just going to quote Bungie here for a minute and say, bouncy and shiny and bursting with love.
Can you come over here and look at this? Can you come over here and look at this?
Should I just stand up and stop sitting down?
So anyway, we're going to sit here and we're going to continue to watch this this trailer a little bit. But right now, we're going to roll the interview.
That's not DOA.
It sure looked it a moment ago. I'm telling you,
that is not DOA.
All right, so we're going to let's go ahead and roll that interview with Jeff Keighley. All right, joining us again on the show is our good friend Jeff Keighley. Jeff, how are you?
I'm great, Major. Thanks for welcoming me back. Second time is a charm.
Second time we had you back at episode 218, and it's always great to have you on the show.
Well, thanks. I'm getting excited. It's sort of, you know, leading into the home stretch, leading into E3. So there's lots of excitement, lots of rumors, lots of buzz. So
yeah,
are you excited about E3?
I am excited about E3, but I'm a little, I'm going into it, and I'm looking at it a little sideways going, so what are we getting into this year? Because I want you, from a journalist perspective, talk about how you've seen E3 kind of rise up, and then last year it kind of caved in. So it's interesting to see what's going to rise from the ashes this year.
Yeah, I mean, I was at all 12 E3s, like the first E3, I think it was like 1995. I think I was still in high school in Toronto, and actually I was like 16 years old, and they had this rule at E3 where you had to be 18 or older to get on the show floor. So I actually had to carry around a little note in my pocket from the head of the, wasn't the ESA back then, I forgot what it was called, I think it was the ISA or something like that.
And what did this note say?
Note said that, you know, Jeff is okay, even though he's under 18, he's allowed to be on the E3 show floor. Sincerely, Doug Lowenstein. So I had to show the little security guy at the door of E3 every year. So that I had to go through that for like 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And E3 was, it became just sort of legendary, like the biggest, you know, party, but also the, you know, where all the big news broke. And this year in May, it was, you know, it was always in May. It was in Los Angeles for every year, except I think 2 years it went to Atlanta in sort of the late 90s. But every year it was, you know, it was all about the big three press conferences from the big three companies. I mean, you know, back when it started, it was, you know, Sega was, you know, one of the big three, and you guys weren't in it.
Right.
But every year there were these big press conferences, lots of news, lots of announcements. And as a gamer, you know, there used to be that there was something like literally over 100 games announced in like a 3-day span.
Right.
And everyone would save up all their big announcements for E3. But I think what started to happen was it was a bit of an arms race that everyone was trying to outdo each other. So the parties got bigger, the booths got more expansive. I mean, your booth was, it was almost like a village.
Do you remember the Microsoft booth? I mean, because when I went 3 or 4 years ago, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And we were just, it was larger than, I mean, clearly larger than some houses. I think it was actually
larger. Football field. Basically.
Yeah, it was actually larger than our office building here in Redmond.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was insane, and they were, you know, constructing bridges over, and I mean, there was literally, I think, someone who worked on that, like, 365 days a year.
Right.
It's like E3 would end, and they'd start working on the next year, and so people would spend millions upon millions of dollars for this booth, really for a 3-day show. And it always sort of, the thing was, there were these press conferences at the beginning of the week, and then by the time sort of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday were the show hours, there was just so much going on, you didn't have enough time to see the games you really wanted to see. And then there was this attendance issue, is that even though E3 was supposed to be trade or industry only, you know, there were 70,000 people, and a lot of guys who were clerks at GameStops and Best Buys somehow got tickets. So there were a ton of people there, and I think what happened was, I mean, there were booths.
Right.
Like, I remember the Activision booth. It was always, I mean, it was so crowded. I mean, it was like you're at a rock show. You couldn't even walk around.
And that, not only that, but just to the rock show element, then all of the different booths, including ours, we would hire acts or a rock band to come down or just something to kind of set the booth apart. It was a circus-like atmosphere.
There was one year, I remember, at E3 that they have these noise regulations, and you're not allowed to be over a certain decibel amount. And there was one company that was, I think, fighting with another company. So what they did is they hired a marching band to come and play in their booth right in the aisle next to the other company's booth. And what happened was they were basically trying to drown out the sound of the other booth. So that company complained, and they had a little decibel meter a security guy brought by. He measured the decibels, and it was above something. And then they literally just shut down the power to the other booth.
just threw the switch. It was just crazy. Just some of that, for lack of a better term, some of the antics.
Yeah, no, it was, and that was I loved it as a journalist, and the spectacle was a lot of fun. You sort of felt like you wanted to almost get your tuxedo out, you know, once a year. That's when you do it, to go to E3. But I think all the companies realized that they were spending too much money, and it wasn't an effective use of money. And you know, Microsoft, I think, got a better bang for their buck when, say, in Europe, you would do those like XO6, XO5, all those shows which are dedicated to Xbox. So as a journalist, I preferred those things because we can actually go to the event and spend a whole day with Microsoft. Whereas at E3, there was so much competition, is you book, you know, an hour booth appointment at Microsoft, and there'd be 12 games to see.
Right.
And inevitably, I'd say, well, show me Halo 2 and show me Forza, and after that, I don't have time to see anything else. And a lot of developers got shortchanged. So it just wasn't very effective.
Yeah, that, not only that, but I'll never forget this one, you know, because I've been covering it for a few years as well. And I'd always get, you know, like, emails or instant message, you know, when I get back to my hotel room at night, and like, some people back here in Redmond would say, hey, what's going on? What did you see the show? And I had to say to them, I said, you know what? When you're on the show floor, it's like being in the middle of a hurricane. The coolest thing ever could be right across the aisle, and you wouldn't know it. So you'd almost have to ask them, say, well, I don't know. What are you seeing on the news? And I'll go see that game, because you just didn't have a concept of what was going on.
No, and even when you'd go to, like, the websites, I remember, like, GameSpot and IGN back in the day, you'd go there, and there'd be so much information.
Yeah.
There was no way to even sort of surf through it, because literally there'd be, like, 150 game trailers come out on one day.
Right.
And it's like, how do you even know what to start to look at? So it was very hard for the publishers to elevate games, kind of, you know, break through the noise of E3. So I'm sort of sad to see that it's scaled back this year, but it remains to be seen how effective E3 in July really is. But I think the big thing everyone's excited about are the big three press briefings with, you know, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. Because there are always, you know, a few pot shots between the guys, and everyone's trying to sort of outdo each other. So we'll see if Peter Moore's got the goods or not.
We'll see if he's got another tattoo, right?
you see, that's the question. Is like, that's sort of a running sort of trend. So he's got to do something, right? Do you have the inside scoop on where the tattoo's going this year?
I don't have anything. I ran into him the other day, and he just kind of said, oh, we got some cool stuff planned. They don't tell me anything. You know, I'm in a totally different building. I just show up, and I learn it just like everybody else.
Yeah, I don't know where there is to go for. But, yeah, you got to figure he's got to do something related to the tattoo, and I'm not sure what that is. But, I think that's sort of a running gag. And that's what's fun, is there's a bit of showmanship in these press conferences and the stagecraft. And it's, you know, it's exciting, I think, for people. You know, people watch it on the web, and they want to see what's going on with the press conferences. Because as a gamer, I mean, it's the biggest thing all year, is you want to see, you know, what are they going to say about Halo 3 in this press conference.
Right.
And you know there's going to be something. So as a gamer, you know, you want to tune in, or you want to hear the news as it happens.
Yeah, we're going to be down there for Xbox.com. We're going to be covering it, and you're going to be doing some coverage as well, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. No, we're, I'm going to be there doing some stuff. Obviously, we'll be doing an episode of Gamehead from there, and I'm going to be doing some live stuff with G4, which we'll be announcing sometime soon. Cool. Some really exciting stuff related to the press conferences.
One thing I want to talk to you, since you've been to, you know, for all intents and purposes, all of them, all of the E3s, one thing that has kind of changed over the years, you know, when you started going in, was it 1992?
No, it was 95 was the first.
Okay, 95. When you went in 95, there was no such thing as blogs, and the web was just starting out. So journalism has really changed, because, you know, the guys and the girls would show up, AP would cover it, they'd file their story at the end of the day, and they're done. But now we're in such this rapid fire communication where I'm on my blog, you know, everyone else is blogging it and covering it, and Joystick and Kotaku, everyone's there. What is that like for you as an established journalist to see this change and to see the sea change of information?
Yeah, it's interesting because I remember back in 95 I had a deal with CompuServe back in the day, and what I'd do is I'd go to E3, I'd go back to my hotel room and hook up my like 386 notebook into the, right, like the 288 modem and like upload a little text report about what happened that day.
Right.
And as you said, now, I mean, people are live blogging these briefings and whatnot. And what's interesting actually to see is, like last year at E3, I think a lot of people decided what games they wanted to see because they went home to their hotel,
right,
read all the coverage online, and said, oh, here's what I want to go see tomorrow.
Right.
So the bloggers are not just communicating to the general populace, they're actually communicating to the showgoers too, and sort of being a bit of a kind of insider's guide,
mm-hmm,
to what's new and what's hot. So, yeah, I mean, the speed of information is just, I mean, stunning, and especially now with, you know, these online sites like, you know, game trailers and trailers going up on Xbox Live Marketplace. You know, I love it because E3 has become that much more accessible to the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So even though there are, you know, a couple thousand people at E3, I think everyone at home really gets things as they happen, which is exciting to see. But yeah, it's stunning to see sort of the change in the landscape, and even amongst the game publishers, you know, to hear how seriously they take blogs and also video coverage. Because
right,
back in, you know, 95, it was really just about, it's like, who's got the first screenshots?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not about that. It's like, who's got the first, you know, high-definition version of the trailer up online?
Yeah, that's...
And it's amazing to see. It's all about video now, and that seems to be the thing that, you know, really dominates at E3 is, you know, all the trailers showing at the E3 press conference. And you guys did a great job last year, so I think everything kind of went up simultaneously on Marketplace.
Yeah, that, and I know we're working on some stuff for this year. The marketing team hasn't given me the full briefing on that, but it's
right,
the whole thing, because we've got this connected service. We want, you know, last year we called it Bring It Home, so they're going to do something hopefully similar this year. You know, so it has been an interesting way to go. And speaking of blogs, I mean, I can't let you go, and I'm not letting you go yet, but I will be remiss if we talk about the Sony blog.
Yes, it's blog.playstation, right?
So what's your take on that? I mean, it's
I think it's fantastic. You know, the guys over there, it's stunning to sort of see institutionally they were able to push that through. I think one of the complaints about Sony is that it's, you know, very monolithic, no one can get anything done, it's all, you know, run out of Japan. I mean, same sort of complaint that, you know, is leveled at Nintendo sometimes,
right,
is that, you know, they just don't understand over in Japan what needs to be done in the U.S. And, you know, obviously they're sort of late to the game with the blog, but I know internally they've been talking for a while about how they wanted to do it. And when it did go up, I mean, I was impressed that it wasn't just, you know, one person. No slight against you, but I mean, it's just like the
right
idea that, you know, Jack Tretton can post a blog post, and you
yeah,
know,
but
PR
on
guy
do,
can.
Do you think he actually posted that, or do you think it actually was a little bit sanitized? Come on.
Well, I'm sure that the PR and corporate communications people looked over it, but I
right
mean, the idea, you know, like, I'd love to. When is Peter Moore going to post on Major Nelson?
Well, yeah, I don't think he's going to, because, you know, I think he should post on, like, the PR blog. You know, I don't, you know, I have him
or
on
the Peter Moore blog. Where is the, that would be hot. The Peter
sure
Moore blog.
Yeah.
Major,
I mean,
Peter.
Major Peter. Yeah, exactly. You know, you can talk about his tattoos. but it's interesting. I mean, I'm thrilled that they're blogging. I sent them a congratulatory note because it's great, because it's great to have them part of the conversation. And that's
I
really
just think it's interesting to hear from their perspective,
sure,
too.
Yeah.
In an unfiltered way. And I think that's, you know, I know a lot of people at Sony actually, you know, listen to your podcast and admire
right
sort of what you've been doing. So I think you've had an impact on everyone seeing that. And I remember, like, Nintendo did a great thing last year where they had these Awada Asks sort of questions on the Wii site, where Awada actually interviewed a lot of the development team in Japan. And I think that I'm actually impressed that the companies seem to be figuring out that they need to do blogs. And it's, you know, it's a great way to communicate directly to the consumer.
Right.
And, you know, in the past it used to be the PR person would have to send a statement to the journalist who would then post the journalist. Well, you know, take the middleman out of the equation and just post responses and post statements on the PlayStation blog. And, yeah, I think it's more extensive than I was expecting in terms of, you know, they have video up there and they have images. So it's, you know, you're going to have to do the revamp of Major Nelson, right?
Yeah, I'm always looking at that. I mean, I've been doing this for a few years now, and it's don't get me wrong, I'm thrilled, and this isn't about mine is better than theirs. I'm just happy that they're part of it, and now I'm like, great, Sony's doing it. Now I kind of turn around and go, hey, Nintendo, what's up?
That's the thing. It's just interesting to see that Sony was able to get that many people approved to, you know, write on a blog and talk about what's going on, but they still haven't done the podcast.
Yeah, well, hopefully they will. And as you know, you and I have discussed
Dueling Podcast.
You and I have discussed it frequently. I have an open invitation to anybody from Sony to come on my show.
Well, maybe now, you know, once they figure out who the PlayStation, you know, podcaster is, maybe you guys can, you know, go head-to-head in a dueling podcast. And you tape him for your show, and he tapes you for his show.
I think it'd be great. We could tape a dual show. But, you know, you said something interesting there. You talked about the fact that it cuts the journalist out and goes, you know, goes right direct from company. How do you as a journalist feel about that?
I think it's great because I think, it, you know, obviously it cuts out sort of the beat reporter a little bit, but there's always going to be the interest for, you know, analysis. And I think everyone knows to some degree that, you know, the PlayStation blog or the GamerScore blog from Microsoft, I mean, it's, you know, they know that it's coming from the company. So it's sort of a bit of a sanitized view on what's really going on. I think that the role of the journalist is to, you know, call information from all these different sources and, you know, talk to different people, come up with a narrative, figure out the real story. You know, I think one of the good things you do on your blog is, you know, on this podcast is, you know, we're free to sort of talk about whatever we want.
Right.
And it's not just, you know, the Microsoft PR podcast. And I think that's part of the challenge of these blogs is to, you know, earn the trust from the gamer. As this is, you know, this is not just the party line.
Right.
And I think it's always sort of a careful balance about how to do that. I mean, Sony has a blog in Europe called Three Speech, which I think has done a pretty good job about that because it's actually written by journalists.
Right.
But Sony gives them kind of information and statements. So I think it's good. I mean, I don't see it as a real threat to journalism. But, you know, it's another sort of information source. I think you'll find that most journalists actually go to that blog now
right
to find out what Sony's saying. What are they saying on the record about what's really going on?
Right.
And it's another source, but I don't think it's a replacement. I mean, no one's going to start going to blog.playstation instead of GameSpot News
right
because you want to get the overall perspective, but it's sort of another bookmark.
It's another data point.
Yeah.
You know, you also said something about the fact that this Three Speech one, which was always shrouded in mystery, you know, it's like, what is this thing? And everyone's always scratching their head.
You're shrouded in mystery, though.
I'm not. I'm the most accessible person in gaming. They know how to get in touch with me. You know how that is. Well,
we were at the Halo 3 celebrity party. Everyone was coming up to you. And, you know, I heard you talking on the show about Jesse Alexander from Heroes coming up and talking to you.
Yeah, Jesse came. Remember, we had a great conversation with him. It was always good. I wasn't expecting to see you there because I figured, you know, you were going to be in the VIP area.
No.
But apparently there was no VIP area.
So. It was a fun party. It was a small party. Everyone was a VIP.
Right, it was. Even the king.
It was great. But no, it was good to see you sort of out there and see everyone kind of hanging out. And yeah, I mean, you're knowing you're sort of a brand in your world. And yeah, Three Speech, it's written by, I think, a bunch of sort of European game journalists, and Sony sort of gives them some statements about what's going on. But yeah, I mean, that's what I love actually about the U.S. PlayStation blog is there's a lot of transparency. It's like, this is written by Patrick Siebold,
right,
you know, from PR, or this
right
is written by Ron Eagle, or
right,
you know, Eric Lempel, or something like that. So it's sort of it's an interesting lineup of sort of all the different you know, people from Sony, and you know, you see who they are. I mean, you almost feel like a, you know, an affinity for a person, which is, I think, part of what works with your blog is everyone
right
knows you as Major Nelson. You're a personality.
Well, you're playing the Wii, right?
Yeah, I play the Wii.
Did it burn out for you already? Are you done with it? I'm curious.
Yeah, it's not that it's burnt out. I think it's, you know, based on the game. So,
right,
you know, I play the 360 probably the most out of all three of the consoles right now,
mm-hmm,
and the Wii probably the least. I mean, there's sort of maybe one game a month I'll check out, but like I was playing Scarface on the Wii the other day, which is, it's fine, but the sort of control, you play it and you sort of say, well, it's kind of fun for an hour, but would I really play this for 15 or 20 hours?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I think the bigger Epic games don't really work for me on the Wii yet, but the smaller mini games like WarioWare was a ton of fun. I love that game. So we'll see. I mean, they certainly have a lot of hardcore games coming this fall between Metroid, Super Mario Galaxy, and Super Smash Brothers,
mm-hmm,
which is a, you know, a pretty big lineup for Nintendo of hardcore games. So I like the Wii, and you know, when I have friends over, I can play Wii Sports with them and that type of thing.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. But no, I don't think, you know, I would be pretty disappointed as a gamer if all I did was own a Wii.
What are you playing? What's in your 360 or your PS3 right now? What are you playing?
I'm playing The Darkness on the 360, which I think is coming out, I think, maybe next week, which
yep
is a phenomenal game from Starbreeze, the guys who did Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay. That's a really stunning,
which was one of the greatest games on the original Xbox.
Yeah, no, these guys are real pros, and The Darkness is, I mean, it's a really in-depth game, but I mean, the graphics look good, you know, excellent gameplay. I'm trying to think what else I've been playing lately. I've been downloading a lot of my game heads on Marketplace.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I know a lot of people are excited there if they see you on Marketplace, and it's like, this
yeah
is great stuff. How's that? Is that going all right for you?
It's, yeah, phenomenal. I mean, we put them up. You know, the show airs on Friday nights on Spike, and then it'll go up on, I think on Monday nights it goes up on Marketplace. So it's a quick turnaround. And, yeah, our Halo 3 show, I think, was number one on Marketplace for the TV downloads.
Yep.
And just looked yesterday, and, like, our Star Wars Celebration show did really well. So it's phenomenal to me to see that, you know, digital distribution has really, you know, come, you know, full steam ahead, and that people are able to download it and watch it, and it's nice to sort of be on more platforms. So yeah, I contribute my 160 Microsoft points every week to buy my own show. I guess I'm a little vain.
That's awesome.
I don't know what else. I mean, I played some Shadowrun, which I was kind of, you know, I heard the podcast interview about that, so I'll leave that alone.
Yeah, Mitch was a
little. Until he starts checking my gamer score account, right?
Mitch was a little off the hook with that one, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was a little wild. But no, I mean, that had good ideas in it, but I think it was a bit of a ripoff at $60.
Well, but I got to tell you, man, it's in the top 10 this week. A lot of people were looking for it. It made the top 10 this week, the demo and the full version.
Yeah, I think that's what's kind of interesting is that, you know, I think there is kind of a hardcore Xbox audience that is always salivating for something new in multiplayer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're not particularly price sensitive. They just, you know, there are a lot of great innovative ideas in Shadowrun as a multiplayer game. So I think, you know, if you know, people buy it, and I think even if you get, you know, a weekend of fun out of it, some people are, you know, are happy with that, and they want to get the gamer score, they want a, you know, a new online multiplayer experience. So I doubt it's going to have great legs, but I
right.
think, you know, first month, I think it's doing pretty well. And yeah, so I played that, and, you know, it's been, June is, it's a quiet couple of months right now for mm-hmm. games, and it's sort of frustrating to me because I look at, you know, the stuff that's coming out this fall, and I think it's just going to be the most insane fall ever for video games.
Yeah, we've got, of course, Halo 3. We've got GTA. What are some of the other fall releases you're looking forward
well,
to?
Well, you look at, like, I mean, Xbox, you got BioShock in August, right. But I think it's going to be phenomenal. So it sort of kicks off with BioShock, then you go right into, you know, Halo 3 at the end of September, and then you got, obviously, GTA in October. You know, November is, you know, you've got, like, Assassin's Creed coming out, I think. You know, there's Splinter Cell Conviction, if that comes out. You know, another Xbox 360 exclusive. You know, there's, you know, new Need for Speed. I mean, there's just, you know, a lot of, you know, big deal stuff that's coming out across the board. And, you know, Rock Band from EA and MTV, which I'm not supposed to talk about until E3, but I think it's going to absolutely be phenomenal. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, all I know is I got a mysterious invite to the MTV party.
Okay, cool.
So I guess maybe we'll see you there. But I'll find out more details then.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a big bash at E3 for Rock Band, which is pretty exciting. And yeah, I think there's a story in Game Informer, so I guess I can talk about it a little bit now. But yeah, it's, you know, it's sort of Guitar Hero taken to the next level because it's, you know, you're playing, you know, guitar, bass, there's karaoke with a microphone, and then there's a drum component,
right.
Which is, I think, just going to be phenomenal. The idea that you can, you know, play, you get a full drum set with a, you know, kick pedal, and you can actually have a band with four people all playing together. Mm-hmm. On the same screen.
Right.
And it's all, you know, great licensed music. So I've got Nirvana and a bunch of other big bands, I think, still to be announced. But I think Rock Band is going to be one of the biggest games this fall. And then Call of Duty 4, mm-hmm. which I saw on Xbox 360 a couple of weeks ago, and I was just blown away. I mean, I got to say, it completely sort of laps Halo 3 almost in terms of the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
When you see this game up and running, you know, who knows what Halo 3 single player will look like, but Call of Duty 4, a locked 60 frames per second, you know, it's modern day combat now, and I think they just put out some videos last week online, which people should check out, but
yeah.
I was just dazzled by that game and the visuals. I think that's going to be a huge seller when that'll probably come, I would guess, in October or November.
So we're going into the holiday season, which many say is one of the most important times of the year for console makers, for a lot of people, but let's, you know, for console makers. So we're going into that. So what would you let's look at Nintendo, let's look at Sony, and let's look at us, Xbox. Give us our midterm grade.
Midterm grade on the Xbox 360. Wow. Well, you know, I think at launch I gave the Xbox 360 on G4, I believe, a B-.
Okay.
And we're doing a little midterm report card in Entertainment Weekly that you'll see coming up in the next couple of weeks. But I would say Xbox right now, for a gamer, I think, you know, it's still probably the best purchase. So I'd probably give you guys, you know, kind of an A- right now, I would say.
Okay, good.
I think, you know, obviously, you know, still a, you know, expensive system. We'll be interested to see sort of what happens, you know, if there is a price cut this year, which I sort of doubt there is until Sony does a price cut. But, you know, expensive system. I mean, the struggling thing with 360 is it's still, it's selling great to the hardcore, but, you know, you look at the sales numbers the past couple of months, I mean, they're not great. And I still think what's happening is, you know, that it really hasn't crossed over to the mainstream in a big way. And that's why I mentioned one of the big things at E3, I think, is figuring out how to do that this fall. And what's happened so far is that the PlayStation 2 owner, I think, which is, you know, 100 million plus to 150 million plus people worldwide, I don't think a lot of them have really decided which way they're going to go in the next-gen race. And I think this fall it's going to be really interesting, because if those PlayStation 2 guys decide, all right, PlayStation 3, there's not enough for me, it's too expensive, I'm going to go to 360. If that starts to happen this fall, which I think there's a good chance of because you guys have so many great games, then I think the sales really start to pick up. And it really starts to work for you guys, which I think is, you know, would be really exciting to see for Xbox 360. So right now it's an A-, so I think it really hasn't crossed over the mainstream. And then I guess you want the Sony and Nintendo grades too?
Bring them.
Yeah, let's see. So I would say Sony right now, I think PlayStation 3, you know, is in a difficult spot. You know, obviously... I think the Blu-ray playback is great on the PlayStation 3, and I think, you know, the fact that Blockbuster's renting Blu-rays now, I think, you know, it looks like Blu-ray is probably going to win the high-def war, and I keep joking with Peter Moore, when are you guys going to announce the Blu-ray add-on drive, which, you know, could actually happen, I think, because, you know, you guys are sort of, obviously you're supporting HD DVD right now, but you could, you know, one day ship a Blu-ray add-on. But I think, so, you know, you factor that in, I think it's a good value as a consumer electronics device, but as a gaming system right now, the biggest challenge for Sony is that the, you know, most of the third-party games look as good or better on the Xbox 360 right now, which is, you know, a challenge for them because they're charging more for their system. And the first-party game lineup is okay. I'm looking forward to Uncharted Drake's Fortune, which is coming out on PS3 from Naughty Dog this fall. We have a game head coming up on that on July 6th. But I would say overall, I'd give them probably a B minus probably.
Okay, so we got an A-, Sony's got a B-. All right, now we're going to go to Nintendo.
Yeah, you know, the Wii's a tough one to sort of figure out. As a gamer right now, I'd probably give them around, I'd probably give them a B or B-. I'm not quite sure where I would tend on that, because I think they're sort of around where Sony is right now. You know, obviously it's a much better value at $250 versus $600,
right,
if you're just a gamer, but if you want the Blu-ray playback. You know, I think the Wii is really appealing to sort of a different audience right now, and I think hardcore gamers may buy it this fall as an additional console, but I can't imagine it. Can you imagine any gamer that just owns a Wii and doesn't have one of the other systems?
To your point, it's a different type of gamer. Gamer in terms of the the definition that you and I are talking about, it's different.
Right.
That's really what it's all about. It is. Can I imagine a game? You know, does the older person, the mom of four kids that goes out and buy a Wii, is she a gamer? Well, yeah, you could say she is. But to your point, I don't think a gamer, as you and I understand the definition, somebody who's downloading this show, is just going to own a Wii. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, so that's I think, yeah, Nintendo, I think for, you know, it's probably a little bit more value for a mainstream consumer, but for me as a gamer, I think it's, you know, sort of, you know, probably in the B-minus territory. So, no, I mean, Xbox definitely, I mean, you guys have had a great year in terms of, you know, solid games, lots of great first-party games coming this fall. You know, a lot of people are kind of down on PlayStation 3 right now, and I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a long race. And, I think, you know, we'll see at E3. I mean, Sony is going to cart out Killzone 2. For the first time and show it playable. So all eyes will be on that, you know, and talk about bloggers. I mean, they're going to go crazy comparing that to the E3 video from 2 years ago.
Remember
about,
that? You know, that was interesting.
Well, now, I mean, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting, as Peter Moore likes to say. Right. And it's like, we will be tasting at E3.
Right.
So it's be interesting to see, you know, if they're able to, you know, to pull this together in a way that really dazzles people. So, yeah, PlayStation 3, I think there's a lot of kind of untapped power. And I think everyone there at Microsoft, even though, you know, 360 seems to be moving ahead in a great way, I think, you know, no one's discounting what Sony's doing. And, I'm sure competitively everyone's will be. So what actually happens when they have their press briefing? Do you guys all kind of like huddle around like a PC to watch the briefing?
I can't speak for everyone. All I know is that I can tell you what I do is like I watched it online. I think it was GameSpot last year carried their briefing online. And last year's Sony briefing, I don't want to say anything negative about it. I'll let you do that if you feel you need to. But I actually kind of got bored with it, and I closed my computer and went back to my hotel because I was someplace else. But I like to watch it I did.
Did you see the giant enemy crab?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and real time weapons change. That's some of the greatest stuff ever came out of that show.
Yeah, I just think that's interesting. That's actually what I'd like to do, is like be in the room when Peter Moore is watching the Sony briefing, or sort of, you know, the competitive, you know, view of how all these other briefings.
Well, I can't offer Peter Moore up, but I'm happy to hang out with you and watch it if you want.
Or maybe I could sneak you in. Right?
Yeah, there we go. So I mean,
you guys can do an exchange where like the PlayStation blog will invite you to their briefing, and would you invite a Sony guy to your briefing?
I would absolutely. I'll bring them. Sit there. I'll be carrying it as a podcast, as you know, as always.
Right.
But I'm happy to have them there. I mean, I'd love to have somebody from the PlayStation blog.
Well, there's a standing invite. Right?
But you know, to your point, I absolutely, you know, because in any business, not knowing what your competitors are doing and seeing the reaction from the press and the fans and so forth, that's very important. So I know that a lot of us really do look at it and go, oh, it's really interesting, because we're looking at it much so, you know, we don't have any behind the scenes information. So we look at it just like you do as a journalist and fans do for the first time. We're being presented with this information.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's exciting, I think, is, the gamesmanship in the days before, because I'll get calls from your PR people saying, what are you hearing about, you know, what Sony or Nintendo's going to do? And, you know, there's just a lot of buzz in the days leading up about what the big blockbuster announcements are. And you guys have had a good history of, you know, some surprises from, you know, obviously last year at X06, you had Peter Jackson show up, and then, you know, the Grand Theft Auto announcement was, you know, a real blockbuster last year at E3, mm-hmm. announcing that was coming day and date to Xbox 360. So hopefully there'll be another, as the fanboys call it, the Megaton announcement.
It's the Megaton. What, you know, we got to wrap it up in a few minutes, but before I let you go, I want to talk to you. I watched a couple of your interviews. You had Aaron Greenberg on, big VIP, a few weeks ago talking about Xbox.
Oh, that's right, on Game Trailers on the bonus round.
Game Trailers on the bonus round. And then the next week you had someone from Sony, and I think you let him off a little easy. You and I talked about
Eric,
this.
Oh, Eric Lempel from Sony, right?
Yeah, I think you let him off a little easy. So I'm just...
Well, you know, I think what's interesting about that interview, and I would agree when you look at both of them, I think, you know, it looks like not that I railed Aaron Harvey, but I think Aaron and I have we had a bit more sort of fun rapport about about what was going on and stuff. And I think, you know, Eric, he's obviously in a much sort of tougher situation, you know, regarding what's up with PlayStation, because, I mean, everyone agrees, obviously, that you guys are ahead with online.
Right.
And, you know, the other issue is that I think a lot of that's directed out of Japan, mm-hmm. about what happens with Sony. Mm-hmm. So I think, he was a good sport in terms of coming on and trying to answer the questions, but I think a lot of their responses were sort of, you know, they weren't philosophically disagreeing with anything I was saying.
Right.
That's what I thought was interesting. When I talked about, you know, where are the cross-game invites or, you know, cross-media bar when you pause the game. I mean, he's not saying, no, we're not doing that, or we think that's wrong. He was just saying, like, yeah, we're working on it, and it's sort of like we have a lot to do.
Yeah.
We're behind. And so I thought that was kind of honest of him
to
say,
fair.
Like, you know, we're working on these things. And so, you know, I don't know how you can go. You can certainly hit him back like I did, saying, well, you know, why weren't these things there on day one? Why aren't things happening sooner? But it's sort of, I think he was sort of ill-equipped to respond to that. And there weren't really a lot of sort of philosophical differences, where when I was talking to Aaron, I think there are some philosophical differences between developers and Microsoft about, you know, what to do with mods and you know, whether to charge for the service or not. So I think, yeah, I did play a little bit like I was, you know, I guess you could say I was easy on him. But then I throw it back to you and say, what question did I not ask him that I should have asked?
I guess when he was answering some questions, it was like, he's like, well, we have this and that. Like cross-game invites, you know, no, you don't have that yet. You know, there's certain things that kind of just drifted by, you know. And
yeah, I pointed that all out to him, and then he sort of called those minor features, which I thought, you know, I hit him on, because I don't think they are necessarily minor features. But
right.
In Sony's defense, I mean, I think they, for a company that for a long time people thought just wasn't listening, they sort of plugged their ears. You know, they added DVD upscaling, which, you know, you guys hit them on for a long time.
Right.
Remember when Aaron Greenberg came around last fall and, like, showed me the scaling chip in the Xbox 360 and says, we have a chip just for this, and
right.
Sony will never do this. And they were able to figure it out through software. So I think they are working. I think they know they're behind the ball. And, you know, I don't think he was... obviously he was spinning a little bit, and he actually did a pretty good job, I thought, you know, under pressure, because that's, you know, not a good seat to sit in, when you're being interviewed by me, and, you know, you've obviously got a lot of things to do.
No, and I've been in the hot seat, not with you, but I've been in the hot seat before, and it does kind of suck. And I think, you know, you do a great job, and he does a great job, and I don't want to, this is not about me knocking the Sony, because everyone, whenever I say anything negative about Sony, they just come after me like I'm a fanboy and I suck.
Kotaku, Major Nelson.
Yeah, you can see the headline right now, can't you? And that's not what this is all about. I mean, this is just about the healthy discussion, and that's the other thing I like about this industry, is people like yourself, you know, Sony now doing the blog, Nintendo, hopefully they'll come up with something. But everyone really, you know, it's the core about it is we love gaming. And we love gaming, and there's, as you pointed out, there's some philosophical differences, but we're able to get into the room and talk about these things, and that's what I like about this. I've worked in other industries where that's just not the case. People don't have these.
Well, that's what I love about, you know, something like the bonus round is that Aaron will fly down to be on it, and Eric will fly down to be on it, and just kind of engage in the discussion. And I wish there was kind of more of that on more blogs and more websites, because you see the coverage that generates when, you know, Aaron says anything about, like, how, you know, we think that 80% of our stuff is free on Xbox. I mean, there are headlines all over the place.
Right.
It's one little comment in a half-hour interview. But people just love to, you know, it's a great horse race between everyone. And that's fun about it. And I would love to have, you know, dueling bloggers, you know, on the show, too. So, you know, bring you on and, you know, bring on someone from Sony and have you guys head-to-head on the bonus round.
Done. I'm there.
I'm there.
All right. Well, we'll have to look it up post-E3, right?
All right, man. Well, listen, I'm going to wrap it up now because I got some other stuff to do. We got to continue with the show. I appreciate you coming on and giving me a little bit of...
You got to prep for E3. You got to work on the tattoo designs.
I got to go figure out what's going on with you because they're certainly... They know exactly what's going on. They just haven't told me yet.
Was there like kind of like a, you know, like a white room where like no one can go in where they work on the press briefing? Or you must hear like a few little...
Oh, yeah. There's actually rooms that require you to have, you know, a special badge to get into that I can't get into. Wow. You know, with stuff, I kind of, when the door opens, I peek in and see stuff taped up on the wall. And so there's definitely that kind of planning going on. I mean, and let's be clear, just like you pointed out earlier, we've been planning this thing for months. So there's a whole bunch of
is there a big surprise though? Or do you think there's going to be something big?
From what I'm hearing, there's going to be some cool stuff. So,
all right.
So I'm excited to be there. I'm excited to hang out and see what we're going to talk about. I'm excited to see Sony. I need to get into your briefing, so I'll expect that invite. I'm just excited that we're now at the point where we can see some to fruition. Some of these things that we've been talking about. You talked about Killzone, and just kind of it's going to set the table for what gamers can expect this fall, which is exciting.
Oh yeah, no, I think it's going to be phenomenal. And you know, everyone, you know, E3 was in May and then it wasn't, and people were wondering what was going to happen. And now I think, you know, come that week in July, we're going to have, you know, much better sense, as you said, about, you know, what the consoles are going to be like come November. And I think no matter what, every system is going to have a lot of great games, and I really mean that. It's question is, you know, which is going to be the best value. So maybe I'll come back on after E3 and we can give report cards for the press conference.
We would love to do that. And before I let you go, though, you know, you're a gadget guy. Are you excited about the iPhone?
Yeah, you know, I think I'll probably get it the first weekend. And I don't know. I mean, a lot of, you know, my friends, I think, are right, saying, oh, I'm going to wait for version 2 or version 3.
Right.
You know, Apple's so secretive about stuff. It's kind of hard to know what it really is, and sort of, you know, there certainly will be quirks and quirks. Like someone was telling me the other day, like there's no vibration on the phone. So it's sort of like you have it, and you know, if you're using it as a phone, how, you know, I use vibration all the time because I'm in meetings.
Right, and you're recording TV shows and whatnot.
Yeah, so you want a vibrating phone. It doesn't really have that. So I'm sure there are going to be a lot of features. Like there was this, you know, big debate where people talked about how, well, will it have Flash or not in the browser?
Right.
And like it won't have Flash. So is it really the true internet on a phone? Like the TV commercial says, if you don't have Flash.
Right.
No. So I think there's, you know, Apple's great at obscuring, you know, some of the weaknesses of the device. So I'm probably dumb for saying that I'm going to get it the first weekend. But I think I'm very interested to see sort of what it is. And even if I just use it as an iPod.
Right.
You know, touchscreen iPod, I think it's going to be fun. Are you going to get one?
Well, I don't know, because I have to be hooked up to the mail system here at Microsoft.
That's right. You guys, because I remember that for so long, you always have to have your Windows mobile phone.
Right, because it's not because we like the Windows stuff. It's just because it works with our Exchange server. So those are coming out at the end of, you know, June in just a couple weeks or so. So that means you'll have it for E3. So we're going to have to talk about this at E3.
If I can find one, I mean, you know, it may be like 360
dude,
launch.
You're Jeff Keighley, man. You just need to pick up the phone. I know you can make it happen.
I don't know. All right. Well, now I got a challenge. Look, I'm going to
get an iPhone for E3.
All right. I'll do whatever it takes.
All right, man. Listen, I'm going to let you go. I will see you at E3. Thanks for coming on the show. And as always, it's a pleasure.
Thanks, man. Talk soon.
All right, thanks, Jeff. It's always great to have Jeff on the show because he really brings a global perspective to what's going on. I mean, let's be clear. I have no idea what we're going to announce at E3. You don't either.
I have. No, this is the least involved I've been with E3 personally in quite a few years.
So we'll see what happens down at E3 this year. I'll be staying in Santa Monica. I'm going to be going to In-N-Out Burger, which you and I have talked about.
Yeah.
Although there's this other one. Is it Tommy's? Tommy's Originals? Also very good burgers.
It's not In-N-Out. Actually, I have one of my friends who's coming up for PAX offered to go to In-N-Out on the way to the airport and bring me a double cheese.
Oh, God, that would stink. But, I mean, much like any good food, it's really only good hot and sitting there after 3 hours. Like, the worst thing ever is, like, cold McDonald's french fries. The only person I know that will eat them, Trixie.
No, Kitty will.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh, horrible.
She loves McDonald's french fries.
Oh, don't get me wrong. They're great. But it's just, like, once they get to a certain point, it's just gross.
No.
Speaking of Trixie, she's not joining us today. Do you know why?
Because I was tired of being kicked?
No, she's in Mexico covering... What is she down there covering?
World Cyber Games. WCG.
So she's down, and I had a very, we had a very clear discussion with her. I said, look, I said, if I get a call from the federales or from the Mexican authorities, I'm not accepting the collect call. You're on your own.
If I offered to help get her out of jail, does that mean I get to go to Cancun?
That I don't know.
Because under those conditions, I might be willing to see what I can do.
But I will tell you, this is a true story. And Trixie, if you're listening to this, you're going to kill us. So yesterday...
No. Wait, stop. She's going to kill you. I'm not involved in this.
So she left. She left, what was it, Thursday. So Friday, we get an email from someone on our team saying, hey, if you're going to E3, we need to order business cards. You know, because we want to hand them out to members of the community.
Right.
So I said, oh, yeah, I need to get another one, you know, another stack of business cards to hand them out. And so this woman came and she says, well, what should we get for Trixie? And I said, can I make up a title? And I can't put in words what I was wanted to put on her business cards.
Living on the edge, Mage.
Well, so if you were to print up Trixie's business cards, what would you put on them? Community? All right. Yeah. I'll leave that alone. They're going to be mean. People are going to – don't be mean.
No, if you're going to be mean on the blog, just go away.
Yeah, just come after me because you will. All right, I want to talk to Steve Taylor. Steven Tyler's going to join us.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Do you have your Guitar Hero stuff with you?
I do not.
Mine's at home.
I do not. Steve Tyler from Steve Taylor. I'm doing it again. Steve, I am so sorry. I am so sorry, Steve.
This is Band of Bugs. All right. All right, on the line with me today is Steve Taylor from Ninja Bee Studios. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you guys released Band of Bugs on Xbox Live Arcade this week. Congratulations, first of all, on shipping another game.
Thanks.
Tell us a little bit about Band of Bugs for someone who hasn't had the chance to play it yet.
Sure. Well, it's a tactics game, which for people who aren't familiar with that particular terminology genre, it's a turn-based strategy game, but it's got more of a focus on individual units and their unique abilities on a tactical map, and rather than being, you know, a real-time strategy or a game with a whole bunch of crazy different units, this game has a small number of key units, each with unique capabilities that you utilize to your advantage in combat, basically. It's a pretty simple game to get into. At least that's what we've tried to do, is take this turn-based strategy genre and make it accessible to new players or people who don't traditionally play this kind of game. But then also we tried to make it appealing to the people who like traditional tactics and turn-based strategy games as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because I booted it up. I went through the tutorial, and it's kind of interesting. You know, there's a lot of fun elements. You know, spinning the map around and figure out how many spaces you can go. How should somebody think about this? I mean, clearly they should go through the tutorial, but what are some other tips that you can give us for gameplay?
I would definitely go through the single player stuff past the tutorial as well, because there's some, you know, the game has enough depth and variety in what you can do, but there's just no way for us to put all of that in the tutorial.
Sure.
So as you go through the game, even past the tutorial, then we try to explain critical concepts. So for example, if you have intentions of playing online and competing with other players, then it would probably help to play around with the entire, or at least the first half of the single player campaign before you get into that. But of course, there are skirmish maps that you can toy around with a little bit. There are help menus that you can look through a little bit. But one of the things that we wrestled with while developing the game is how to convey depth in the game. We wanted to make it deep so that it would be appealing to to fans of hardcore strategy games, but we didn't want to scare anybody off, and so we tried to strike a balance between conveying too much information and not enough. So there is hidden information that you have to dig a little bit to get into before you really understand the fundamentals of the game, but you ought to do pretty well with the information that it does give you right off the bat.
Now you got NinjaBee, you've been creating Xbox Live Arcade games for quite some time. You've had Outpost Coloki X, which was a fun space station tycoon kind of game. Band of Bugs, which of course shipped this week. Now, the one that a lot of people really seem to play over and over is Cloning Clyde.
Yes.
That was that. Tell us a little bit about Cloning Clyde, what you learned from Outpost Coloki X, Cloning Clyde, and how you kind of applied it to Band of Bugs.
Sure. That's actually a pretty straightforward progression. When we were still working on Outpost Coloki, we had a few conversations with some key people at Microsoft, and one of the members of our team, John Nielsen, got very, very excited about what Live Arcade was promising, and this was before the Xbox 360 had launched, and so we were working off of conversations, basically. But John just kind of lit a fire inside him, and he said, I have to do a game for this system. And so we provided resources for the team, and we got involved together working on this project. And while we were still doing Outpost Coloki X, he began on Cloning Clyde. And then as we finished Outpost Coloki X, then we shifted more team members onto the Cloning Clyde team to try to get that finished. But it was John from the start to the finish who was the visionary behind that game. And then the 360, of course, finally launched long before Cloning Clyde came out, but it was maybe, you know, half done or 60% done or something by then. Mm-hmm. So Outpost Coloki had no multiplayer, Cloning Clyde did, and so that was a big step up, was a lot of multiplayer, understanding the basic technology and getting it to work and working with the tech people at the Live Arcade group to get it to work. And then going from Cloning Clyde to Band of Bugs, we did more functionality. We did the level editor. We did lots of different kinds of multiplayer play, camera, live vision support, and that kind of thing. So each game really was a step up technology-wise from the previous one.
I want to talk about, getting back to Band of Bugs, I want to talk about the camera support and the level editor. Tell me how those work and how... Let's talk about the camera first of all.
Sure. So let me be blunt and say the camera support is nothing special.
Okay.
And I'm sorry to say that, but I wrote the code. That's the funny thing. And it was important to us, and we really wanted to do it, and I feel like it was a good thing. But in the game itself, it's so small that it's really hard to see. And the most value that the Live Vision camera brings to the experience is when you're in a lobby between games, then the camera view is a little bit bigger there, and you can see what's going on. But it's nothing like the size of the camera in Uno, for instance.
Sure.
At the same time, I have been playing a few days now, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting to see other people while you're playing the game,
right?
Especially in the between game lobbies. And then the level editor, of course, is a huge deal. I don't even know where to start on that. It was such a big deal,
yeah.
And it converted for us what was one level of difficulty of doing this game onto a whole higher plane of technological challenges and details and complications and things that we had to work out in detail with the Live Arcade team at Microsoft, and just kind of made it a much more scary experience overall.
So I can actually, as an end user, I download the game, I purchase the game, I can create my own level, and then I can share it with people over Xbox Live.
Yes. So that's exactly right, and the way that works is you play the game with somebody with your custom level, and when the game finishes, then they have the option. You know, if they hated the game, then they don't do anything with it, but
right.
If they liked it, then there's an option there for them to save it locally, and then they can disconnect from you and do whatever they want, and that map is stored for them locally, and they can then host their own game with it and share it with other people. So there's the potential for a viral spread of maps between different people, or just the potential to just create your own maps and play them with yourself or play them with your little sister or whatever.
So you obviously designed the game, you know, had a huge part in this. Somebody who downloaded the game and purchased it and wants to design their own levels, what kind of tips and pointers can you give them as a junior level designer?
Again, there are a lot of cool things that we did in the game itself that they could at least learn from by playing through the different levels and things. Essentially, the level editor is the exact same level editor that we use to create the game. So now there are some limitations here and there, and of course the game includes, you know, story and scripting and things like that that aren't really part of the level editor. But in terms of making maps, what you see physically in the game you ought to be able to do in your map layouts of your own. So tips and tricks, definitely you have to play it. You have to make the map and get back out and play it locally in a skirmish game yourself, just to kind of see how it plays and see if you even set the right difficulties and levels and items on the ground and waterways and walkways and whatever before you actually try to play with somebody online, or it could be, you know, kind of a long cycle in terms of fixing things and getting them better.
Right. So you just kind of keep playing around with it and making sure it feels right when you're playing with it.
For us, every single level in the game was a huge iterative process that we went through every level over and over and over, maybe 100 times for particular levels. And so I would certainly expect that if somebody wants to make something fantastic with the level editor, they're going to have to play it a lot.
And hopefully they'll send, you know, are you getting people online sending you levels? Actually, I want to ask you, I ask all my guests this, what's your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is Go Stay.
So how do you spell that so I can make sure I got the right one?
G-O-S-T-A-Y.
G-O-S-T-A-Y. So I'll put a link up, and I'm sure people will be sending you messages and maps, and they're going to ask for jobs and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Sure.
Steve, I want to ask you, you've done 3 titles already for Xbox Live Arcade. Clearly, you kind of signed up and you understand the vision of delivering games electronically over live. Where do you think we're going to go from here? Just kind of, I'm asking you to kind of look forward a little bit.
You know, a lot of people have asked me that lately, and I don't think I have any particular claim on knowledge of the future that somebody else doesn't. But I do have a couple of opinions. I believe that this is the direction that everything is going, and of course, I think you have to be pretty silly to think that at some point in the future, it's not going to all be downloadable stuff. It really is, but it's not going to be next year, and it's not going to be the year after that. People
Sure.
are still going to be buying traditional retail games that fit a certain expectation and a certain size and a certain price. But absolutely, over time, it's going to change. And one thing that I was just talking to somebody about today is that it's not necessarily going to be the $10 games and the $60 games. It's going to be the $10 games and the $15 games and the games in between, and the games with purchasable, downloadable content, and the games that essentially turn out to be $30, and games that are 200 megs and games that are 400 megs. And we're going to fill out that space more. And Live Arcade is, to me, a huge step in that direction. And it's not everything, and it has its own limitations, but it demonstrates what we can do within that certain range, and we're just going to push more and more and more into that direction and fill, I hope, the gap between $60 retail titles and $5 retro titles.
Yeah, because you guys, as I said, you've developed 3 titles already, arguably 3 successful titles. It's, you know, Band of Bugs just came out this week, so but the other ones, you know, they're fairly successful. Do you think that I've actually heard people say that some of your titles are better than some $60 games, and I don't want to give any names of titles. That's got to make you feel good.
Sure, absolutely. I would be interested in knowing which particular games, because we try to do the best that we possibly can, but we see some absolutely amazing stuff out there, even on Live Arcade. It's impossible for us not to compare our games with tremendously fantastic titles like Small Arms and RoboBlitz and say, good heavens, this is what we have to keep up with every time we do a new game.
Right. Are you guys working on a new one now? Do you want to give us a little hint, maybe?
Not without getting in trouble.
Okay. You or me.
Maybe both of us.
Yeah.
So, no, Katie would probably kill me. Katie Stone who's been our PM for a long time. Katie Stone Perez, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is probably not going to be our PM anymore in the future. I guess she hates us now. No, she's just kind of moving on.
Katie's actually a good friend here at Microsoft. She works internally with us, and she and I were talking, and she said, you got to interview the guys at NinjaBee. And I said, you know what? I do. You're right.
She told me to say hi, by the way.
Oh, well,
so anyway, I'm scared of her. She's so nice, but sometimes I think, man, it's when I make a decision, I think, is Katie going to love this or hate it? And that decides whether I'm going to do it or not.
Right.
So well, I have to be pretty careful.
So you've done some great work. You know what I want to do is I'm going to have people email me. I want to have them send me a level in Band of Bugs, because I actually have a you know, I'm going to have them send me what their favorite level is in Band of Bugs, or hear what I'm getting at. I have a copy of the game to give away. And how should we give it away?
I have no idea.
You know what? People, email me major@xbox.com and say you want a copy of Band of Bugs, and I will hook you up with that. So just drop me an email. But I'm so excited to talk to you because of the great work you've done for Arcade with Outpost and with Cloning Clyde and Band of Bugs. What games are you playing? You know, you've got some great games here, but what games are you playing that you're looking forward to, either arcade titles or full retail titles?
Do you mean games that are coming out?
Games that are coming out.
Well, of course, I'm fantastically excited about Bomberman, and we know a couple of people involved with the project, and I think it's going to be great. I think a lot of people were, that should be a great game. And then Carcassonne is another game that I'm really interested in. It's a game that I've played on the board game version of it for a long time, and I'm definitely interested in that. It may not be everybody's cup of tea, but we'll find out, right?
Exactly.
So those are two that I'm really excited about, there, which I know have been discussed. There are some that have not been discussed, and I'm also looking forward to a whole lot, at least as far as Live Arcade goes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, I don't play a whole lot of retail games. I like them, and I'm interested in them, and my particular personal focus, and this is not the case for everybody at NinjaBee, but my focus is strategy games and turn-based games and simulation games like Viva Piñata, for example, was a big favorite of mine. And so those are the ones that I look for on retail. And then everything else, I play Live Arcade. Live Arcade just has this different kind of a feel to it, and the sit down and play it and move on kind of experience. I don't have to wait for a disc, and I just turn on the system and I play the game and I move on and I do something else, and I don't get that experience anywhere else, and it so much fits my temperament and my lifestyle that I just adore it. And I can still have a hardcore fix with certain games. I can still play a fighting game with Small Arms, and I can play puzzle games with Eats, and I can play a simulation game with Hapless Kaluki. So I get all these different genres, but I do it in 5, 10, 20-minute chunks, and that's what I focus on instead of retail stuff.
Did you play Catan?
I did. I played tons of Catan. I'm not a big ranked multiplayer duke it out kind of guy, mm-hmm. and so I will never get the last two achievements that require you to play a whole lot of games online. I have played a ton of single-player Catan. I'm actually doing okay on the leaderboards.
You know, I want to ask you about achievements, because you've developed three games so far for Arcade. What's your strategy, and what have you learned going from Outpost to Cloning Clyde to Band of Bugs on how to make the achievements maybe better?
Sure. One of the things that we keep trying to do is just something original and different. I mean, like the 6 Degrees, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the achievement. I think 6 Degrees. And Small Arms was so clever and so interesting that we're always aspiring to do something like that. And so we even talked about it a couple of days ago. The lead designer on Band of Bugs was actually a guy named Jeremy Throckmorton, and he's been designing games for a long time. And he and I share a philosophy that achievements have to be more than things that you just kind of grind out. They need to be something off the beaten path sometimes. And so actually what we try to do is a variety. We may start with the basics, like, you know, reach level 5 and win the game, or reach level 5 and you get an achievement, or win the game and you get an achievement. But then let's try to do something different. What if you make a certain choice on a particular level and explore that path, and you could get an achievement for that? And what if you level up a weapon that isn't a key weapon, but you get that weapon to a certain level and you get an achievement for that? But there's so many different categories. Another thing we want to do is encourage multiplayer community building. So we give achievements in Band of Bugs for hosting games, because we want people to host games and get out there and help create a community. There's an achievement in the mini golf game for creating your own course, which I think is cool because it encourages you to explore that particular part of the game. So those are the kinds of things that I think we get the most excited about, are strange different paths like that. And it's a huge balancing act. Do we give people achievements early enough in the game so that they're interested in it? Do we give them achievements for playing through the hard, long processes of, say, finishing a campaign? Mm-hmm. Do we give them these strange side achievements? And is it a fair difficulty spread from easy achievements to hard achievements? And that's a really difficult balancing act. And another thing we want to do is always push both the design elements and the technology elements. For example, we're very excited about the prospect of achievements in downloadable content. I know that that's been discussed somewhat, mm-hmm. and something that we've explored a lot. For example, Chad Long is another guy at Microsoft that we've worked with a lot, in particular with Band of Bugs. Chad put a ton of extra effort into making Band of Bugs technically and gameplay-wise everything that it could be. And so we've had a bunch of conversations with Chad about downloadable content achievements, another technology like that. And that's something that we really get into. Sometimes I think that the live features in a game, like rich presence and leaderboards and achievements and multiplayer matchmaking and things like that, is some of the most interesting stuff for us to do. So that's why I did the camera support and I did the the achievements, and because I love that stuff.
Right.
It's really interesting, and it's part of what makes live games and live arcade games unique and separates them from other consoles and from PC games, and it's what takes this community of people who are all playing Xbox games and makes them more tied together and paying attention to each other and knowing what their friends are doing and involved together as a group playing the game instead of individuals.
You've got 12 achievements for Band of Bugs. What were some of the achievements that you left out? Give us some of the stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor.
there's a lot of stuff like that, I have to say this without giving anything away. There are some weird ideas that we had for achievements, and instead of doing them for achievements, we actually put some of them in the mystery leaderboard. And the point of the mystery leaderboard is that we don't say what it is.
Right.
So I can't actually say what it is,
Okay. But
there are things that you can do while you play the game that will give you points in the mystery leaderboard, and so we tended to do that instead of actually do achievements. But other ideas that we had for achievements were things we actually did put in the pushing a bug into the water, but we had talked about variations on that, like melting ice under a bug and so he falls into the water, and burning bugs and things like that. But they were all so weird, and in the end we had to have some normal ones, like let's finish the tutorial and finish the game and things like that, that we didn't really have room in the 12 to do more.
Well, there's always more. You always have more games down the line.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We'll definitely be exploring more achievement ideas in future games.
Do you take the feedback from the community and say, they really didn't like this one, or they didn't like this level? Or I assume you take a lot of feedback from the community and roll it into your games.
We do. In fact, more and more lately, that's a really big deal to us. For example, in Band of Bugs, in the credits, we actually acknowledge some really active people in the forums on ninjabee.com because they help us figure out what to do. They gave us extensive feedback on Outpost Colicchio and Cloning Clyde, and they do tech support, and they help other people through the games, and they're just fantastic people that are trying to not only help with the current games, but give us advice and feedback and whatnot on future games. So, for example, leaderboards. Do people like the idea of a leaderboard per level? Do they like saying, on level 5, I'm the best player, or do they want one leaderboard that kind of summarizes how they do in the game overall? And we talked to a lot of people and definitely got the feedback that they liked the individual leaderboards per level. So there are just huge numbers of leaderboards in Band of Bugs. Maybe too many, but that was the kind of feedback that we got from the community and implemented in the game. And we will continue to do that and pay attention to what people want. Some of it is outside of our control. People will suggest things that maybe require, for instance, a live server platform implementation, which is a technology that we simply can't afford to develop in our current state as a company. Maybe if we've made a lot more games and the community gets bigger and bigger, then it's possible. But for right now, we're just this little company using our own money and our own time and our own people to make a game that we think is cool, and sometimes we can't satisfy everybody with that limited kind of set of resources.
You got a lot to do. You got a bright future. Steve Taylor, I appreciate you taking the time. Again, if you're listening to this interview and you want to get a copy, I have one copy of your game to give away. Email me, major@xbox.com, and I'll let them send you messages over live as well, Steve.
Okay.
Thank you, my friend, and good luck.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time. Thanks.
All right, Band of Bugs up on Xbox Live Arcade right now, and E has not downloaded it.
No, I need to, but I just, the last couple days have been crazy.
Yeah, you've been playing Halo 2. Why don't you play some of these games?
Well, that and work has just been, like, nuts.
Yeah, we're busy.
So, in the last 2 weeks, I've had 5 new employees start on the ops team. And that, wow, it's been a little crazy around here.
Growing to serve you better.
5 desks is challenging.
Growing to serve you better.
Exactly.
All right, so we've got Name a Game and Xbox 101, and when you're on the show, you do the Xbox 101. That's your section.
I do.
So we'll get to that in a minute. But first, it's time to play the sound from last week's Name the Game. Here it is.
The game.
I don't think you know what that is.
It sounds familiar, but no, I can't place it. I'm going to, when you say what it is, I'm going to go, oh.
That is Feeding Frenzy.
Duh. Okay.
Feeding Frenzy. So that was a little bit longer and whatnot, but congratulations to Dead One Walking is his gamer tag. Dead One Walking, you grabbed yourself a Turtle Beach Air Force One X1 headset with integrated voice and stereo sound, and I'm just making up marketing copy now for them.
Well, you get the game audio yeah. and you get the voice audio all in one set of headsets.
Yep. So thanks, Turtle Beach guys. You know what I do have that I have a couple extra copies of the Complete Mixture Trilogy to give away. We need to figure out how to do this.
Nice.
Not the HD DVD player, just the HD DVD version.
Still, that's
so. If you have an HD DVD, I need to figure out how to give those away. You watched them all, didn't you?
I did, and actually, me and a friend are kind of planning to at least watch the first movie again. Pizza, beer, that kind of thing.
Yes, Stryker came in here, who works on our team, and he was lamenting the last 10 minutes of the second movie.
Personally, I kind of lament the whole second and third movie. But they look so pretty, I'm going to watch them again anyways.
Right. Much like Rumble Roses was happening across
he's not still watching
that. No, he's watching something else now. God, how could he still, unless he's watching it again. He's doing quality control over there.
This is going to become a running thing. It's like, so what's the guy across the hall watching this week? It's like David Letterman and the guy at the deli downstairs.
Yeah, exactly. Or on the old Friends episode where they used to have the naked guy across the way.
I was right there, and I didn't go to that deli when I was in the... Oh.
You didn't? Why not?
No, I totally forgot about it.
I put you in that hotel a block and a half away. Perfect place.
But I was so focused on the Carnegie Deli, I forgot all about it.
Which is not a bad thing.
No.
Let me just be clear, not a bad thing.
Now I have to go back to New York.
All right, Dead One Walking, congratulations on Name the Game, and we need to play a new sound for Name the Game. So here's this week's Name the Game sound.
Okay. Yeah, I got that one.
All right, if you think you know what that is, E, you know what to do. Send an email to major@xbox.com with Name the Game, colon, your guess, and then in the body, please put your gamer tag, if you have one.
Gamer tag would be useful. Although, I guess you don't have to be a subscriber to listen. So
yeah, it would be useful. But go ahead and send it to major@xbox.com. That's how you can get in touch with me for pretty much anything except technical support, because I don't have time to do that.
Yeah. And I suppose I should throw out, if you're listening and you're not a subscriber, go to xbox.com and get yourself a silver account.
Yeah. Gamer tags are free.
Yes.
You can go get one for free. After Name the Game, there's another segment we do called Xbox 101, which is a weekly segment that I do where I kind of... For everybody that's new, that's just maybe downloaded the show or maybe just got their Xbox 360 or their Xbox 360 Elite, we kind of try to tell you about maybe one of the features that you probably didn't know about.
Xbox 101 with Major Nelson. Yeah.
And this one, actually, not exactly a feature, but it's a useful tip nonetheless.
We're going to tell you right now how to get a gig of space back on your hard drive.
Yes. And this benefits at least... 800 some thousand?
I think that's the number. 800,000 like people. So, how do you do that?
So, for those of you who downloaded the Halo 3 beta, here's how you get rid of it. Nice and easy. And I should probably, thank Frankie, since I'm actually stealing his instructions off of Bungie.net. But for those of you who, just weren't sure how to go find it, here's how you do it. If you were playing via Crackdown, then. Just load up the 360 and go to the dashboard, go to the system blade,
right?
In the system blade, select memory, then your hard drive, go to games, go to Crackdown, and inside Crackdown, that's where the beta lives.
Right.
You'll see it, highlight it, click delete, boom, done, you got a gig.
And let's be clear, there's no reason to hang on to this.
No.
It's gone.
It's never going to work again. Yeah. So just go ahead and kill it and get yourself that space back.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do.
If you weren't playing through Crackdown, if you were one of the friends and family, Rule of Three winners, etc., it's a little easier. Do the same thing, System Blade memory, but instead of looking under Crackdown...
Go to games and then...
No, you don't have to go to games. You can get the demos right there.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Go to demos. You'll see it in there. Highlight it. Delete it. Done.
Once again... entirely useless, is doing nothing but taking up space on your hard drive.
That's right, which you could use for the Rumble Roses trailer or
like the guy across the hall.
Yeah.
I don't even know who that guy is.
We should go introduce ourselves.
Oh, now he's playing tennis.
Virtua tennis?
Shit. Okay. I think that's what he's doing with his hands. He better be doing that. I'll tell you that right now.
You had to go there.
Oh, man.
We had that conversation off air, and I didn't know if you were going to go there. But
all right, Xbox 101. Thank you, E. If you have an Xbox 101 tip, drop us an email, major@xbox.com. Maybe we should take the best Xbox 101 tip and give this away.
That's
complete
good.
Matrix trilogy.
Suggestions for next week's show.
Yep.
Best suggestion. I like that.
Complete Matrix trilogy. So, boy, we're just people tune in. We just give nothing but things away on this show.
Are we supposed to give people away?
No, I'm just saying that's all we give.
You said we give nothing but things.
No, all we do is give
so
stuff away.
People, place, and things. We don't own any places.
All right.
I don't have any people, so things.
Gadget time.
Gadget time. God, what? I had something for gadget time. I did. That I wanted to talk about.
You getting your iPhone this week?
No. I'll be honest. I don't get the whole touchscreen thing. I've owned touchscreen devices. I've had like old-style Windows CE pocket PCs that
right.
were touchscreen. Didn't really
like
dig
it.
Them.
You didn't like it.
I used to have, for a universal remote at home, I used to have a Philips Pronto,
right.
which was really cool because it had an LCD screen. You could design your own shape and size of buttons, put your own description on them, which was great for like when people come over that know nothing about, you know, AV gear.
Right.
They look for the button that would say, you know, watch TV or whatever.
Right, and it would just do it.
And it would do everything. But because it was, with the exception of like four buttons, it was all touchscreen, you couldn't do things without looking at the remote, which drove me nuts.
Yeah.
Because usually I just, you know, I might be watching something, lights might be out, and I can
but do volume up, volume down, mute, yeah. previous channel.
And not having all that just drove
There's
me
no
crazy.
Tactical feedback.
So I've got a Harmony now.
The 880?
Much, much better. Yeah.
The same one I have. Love that. Love that. 80.
Speaking of remotes. Oh, God. So I go to bed last night. I want to turn the TV on, you know, throw something on to help me go to sleep.
Do you have a TV in your room? Your bedroom? I don't have a TV in my bedroom.
I like having noise in the background. Just helps me go to sleep. So
okay.
I'll throw, you know, CSI or
right.
who knows what on. Just let it right. run. I can't find where the cleaning people put my remote.
So this is actually a funny story because E has a contentious relationship with his cleaning people. Every yeah. time I talk to you, they lose things. They're always putting stuff in the wrong place. They unplugged your router once.
Yeah, and I tore the bedroom apart. It's not in there. I opened all the dressers. I went through, you know, my stuff. I went there's a couple drawers in there where my girlfriend keeps stuff. I went through those. I thought, well, you know, maybe my son took it into his room.
So if you clean E's house and you know where his remote is, please let him know.
No, if you clean E's house and you're listening to this, you're fired.
That's the other thing is he won't fire them.
I don't know how to get a hold of them. They just they show up.
There's what you're saying is they're house cleaning gnomes. They just show up to your little house, clean it, push stuff around, and leave.
Pretty much. And I could, you know, fire them by not paying them.
Right.
I feel bad about that.
Where do you leave the money?
There's a spot on the counter. I put the money there.
You don't know who these people are. It could be an army of 10. It could be two. Who knows?
These people have been cleaning my house for like 6 years. I have no idea who they are.
Okay.
Yeah. So I should do something about that.
So what
I
about gadgets?
The locks,
what about gadgets? I've got actually an interesting gadget story.
Okay.
So I've got a, you know, a lot of people have asked me about this. I have a, I'm building a new games PC for games for Windows.
Yeah, sure.
Now, problem was is I was working with the guys over in marketing and they're getting me like a cool, they got me the 8800 video card, the NVIDIA.
The one that like needs its substation to power it?
This thing is enormous.
Yeah.
So they get me one of those video cards to borrow. Let's be clear. I just borrow this stuff. I got to give it back. So they get me, I bring it home and I remember I called you. I'm like, am I doing something wrong? It's not fitting in the case. I've never had a video card so big it wouldn't fit in the case. So it was a, you know, more. I can't wait
Will
to install.
Stop
it.
Watching across the hall.
I'm distracted. He's still playing tennis. Oh, he's winning.
Do I need to close the
no,
blinds?
No, fine.
So
it's fine.
Focus.
It's fine. So I got this 8800 that I now don't email me and ask me to send you the 8800. I'm not going to do that. I'm getting a new case because that's what'll happen right now.
Right.
People send me a lot of weird messages over live. I know you get a lot of
yeah.
them.
Oh yeah.
But I get people like, hey Major, can you confirm X? You know, something's going to happen next week. No, if I'm going to confirm that, I'm going to post about it.
Right.
Okay. If I haven't posted about it, I'm not going to confirm something.
Oh yeah, I get some seriously random ones.
And the thing that I love is people who send me a message saying, send me a friend's request. No, how about you send me one?
Yeah.
I know if my friend's list is full, I clear it off all the time.
I mean, just looking at some of the random ones I get in here, someone asked me, what do you think of the PS demo? I don't know what game that is. The PS demo?
I don't know what that is either.
Yeah. I'm totally.
We got totally waylaid from talking about gadgets, didn't we?
We did. But I just, honestly, some of these messages, some of them are really amusing.
I did get a good gadget this week.
Okay.
We talked about espresso last week.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I got one of the Nespresso machines.
And?
I got to stop drinking that stuff. I'm out of my mind. No, it's just, it's really good. It's just like, it's crazy.
Yeah, no,
And somebody called you a coffee press. I got an email about that.
I kind of am. I think of it as coffee snob.
Right.
Because I'm the same way with beer. I don't like, you know, generic American beer. I like microbrews.
Right.
And that's because we live in, you know, the part of the country where most of that happens.
Right.
You know, I used to brew my own beer. I find that interesting. I like good coffee. I spend money on it. I might have possibly had 7 or 8 shots of espresso yesterday and been vibrating a little bit.
Right.
So.
I love the Nespresso. So the Nespresso is it's capsules. You drop it and you hit the button. I can get up in the morning, have an espresso, and
it's totally brain dead.
Yeah, like literally, my kind of hit a button, hit another button, and I'm done, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Nespresso is bad coffee. It's good stuff. It's above average. It's just once you get used to the really good stuff,
yeah, but
it's hard to drink.
That's the last thing I want to do when I wake up in the morning, start tamping things down.
Once you do it for a week or two, though, it's so automatic. I do it in my sleep. First thing that happens when I get up in the morning, turn on the espresso machine, grab the paper. By the time I get out of the shower, the espresso machine's warmed up.
Really? Mine does it in like 60 seconds.
Yeah, but this is a nice heat exchanger machine. It takes a while. It's a good 30 to 40 minutes to warm up right.
Every morning you have to do that?
Yeah, but by the time I'm out of the shower,
what's your power bill like?
It's bad, but that might have something to do with, you know, all the televisions and
all the other issues you have,
arcade games and the computers, right? And when we were talking about generators during the power outage last
week, what a nightmare that was.
I haven't bought one yet. I don't think you have either.
I haven't, because I haven't found one that can run my house.
Exactly. That's the decision you have to make, is what are you going to put on the breakers,
right?
You know, that are
which
powered.
Breakers do you want? Do you want to go one that's the whole house, because that's about 10 grand?
Right.
Do you want one just a few? If so, which a few? Then you got to get the electrician to come out. Do you want inside or outside? Do you want LP or natural gas?
Exactly.
Or it's one of these things.
And, okay, I don't need the whole house, but I want the kitchen,
right.
So I don't want to lose all my food in the refrigerator.
Right.
So that's done. And I want the living room, but okay, which parts of the living room? I need a television and a console, and okay, that allows me to pass time. And okay, what else? Does it need to be the big TV? And you
so
quickly
just,
start adding things on.
So just to provide some backstory, last December we had a horrific windstorm up here in the Northwest, and you and I don't live anywhere near each other, but literally the whole Seattle area lost power for almost a week.
Basically everything but Xbox Live turned off.
Right. Right. Right.
I lost power at my house for about 3.5 days.
I think we were about the same thing, 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And it was gross.
Yeah. And all of a sudden a generator sounds very appealing.
It doesn't even get that cold up here. I mean, I can't even imagine if this happened when I lived in Connecticut in the middle of December. It would have been unbelievable.
Yeah. That would have been a lot worse.
I mean, because here it only got down to like 50. I remember my house was really cold.
No, it was lower than that. It was down in the 30s.
Yeah, I think you're right.
This was the coldest part of the year almost.
Yeah. It was, so anyway, so that's what we're talking. So we should go to Costco and look at generators.
I've never.
Because you know what's going to happen if I go to Costco? I'm going to walk out with a generator. I'm going to walk out with that HD TiVo.
Yeah, you should. I love mine.
I know. I'm still trying to figure out if I go DirecTV or not.
So HBO High Def ran a Star Wars High Def marathon
a
couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
So they ran all 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I recorded all 6, still have them on my HD TiVo.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched 1, 2, and 3 again with my son. So he's 10. So he's the generation that was, you know, 1, 2, and 3 were made for.
Right.
4, 5, and 6, you know, those came out when
those
we were
us,
kids.
Yeah.
Last weekend, I'm like, you know, we're looking for something to do. I think it was Saturday night or whatever. I'm like, hey, let's watch Empire Strikes Back. Dad, I don't really like the old Star Wars movies. Do you want to watch one of the new ones? Those are cool.
Wow.
That was really disappointing.
I didn't like the Ewoks either.
Kind of
but
Return of the Jedi, okay. But Empire Strikes Back?
Luke, I'm your father.
It was hurtful that my son didn't want to watch Empire Strikes Back with me.
That was kind of sucky.
Ugh.
Oh, well. All right, well, we're going to wrap the show up now because I think we've talked basically about random everything else. It's going to be interesting. I've got a show next week, but then we're going to be right in after that. I won't have anything until E3. E3, we've got a bunch of stuff. I'm going down to do video for Xbox.com. I will take a lot of those videos and put them up on my iTunes stream so people can download them, and I'll put them up as WMVs as well.
Cool.
So you can download
Zoom
those
ready flavors.
Yeah, I'll put up a Zune Ready flavor. I think I've done that before.
Yeah.
The problem is I need to get my laptop ready because I don't want to take two laptops. I've got this M1210, and then I got the Dell XPS. I got to figure out what to do here because I need to bring my audio equipment won't run on Vista, so I have to have XP.
Gotcha.
So that's what I'm talking about. So I got to figure out how I'm going to do that.
Need to get the audio people to get going with drivers.
No, you know what? I'll talk to my friend over there who gets me laptops.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, can kick out another one for me.
That, ooh,
he's the one that gets me phones and laptops. And in fact, I got to go see him. He's got a
good friend of ours.
He's got a new tuner card that I got to go pick up from him today.
We need to go say hi to him.
Yeah, he's some love. He's good people.
Mm-hmm.
He's good people. All right. Well, do you want anything else you want to say?
I think we've successfully talked about nothing for a good while now.
Yeah, I think we've been going a good time. He stopped watching stuff across the hallway.
I can't even see across the hallway. At least not in the same office you can.
Yeah, I don't even know what he's doing now.
I'm watching, community enforcement guy ban people.
All right, we're going to wrap up the show now. So the
What was that?
What the heck was that?
What was that?
See, I at least put my phone on silent and I muted my laptop.
That wasn't my phone. Hold on.
It was your desktop. And Major can't remember his password to unlock his PC. GG, Major. GG.
What was that?
I think that was Office Communicator.
Oh, I think you're right. Oh, I think I know what it was. I know what it was.
You're supposed to be somewhere?
I think it was Gmail. Oh, it was Twitter telling me that somebody was twitting.
Oh, God.
That's what it was.
That would drive me insane.
All right, so thanks to my friends at Centricom.net, providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment, now featuring Community Server 2007 for all your caching and fast delivery needs. Also, CacheFly. Speaking of caching, thanks to CacheFly for hosting all of my videos, my audio, basically any file I want. CacheFly takes it and distributes it around the world like the great little digital pixies they are.
Digital pixies?
I just made that up.
Okay.
I don't know what's wrong with me here.
Well, you were on the gnome thing.
Right? Yeah, that's right. So, I don't know. I'm in some kind of parallel universe here. So this is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, and E saying thank you for downloading the show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint. We are going to go watch the rest of the Rumble Roses trailer, which is repeating ad infinitum across the hall.
No, I'm not.
And we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
All right, so we really didn't talk about anything in the show, so we'll talk about, what do you want to talk about in the after show? Cars?
More nothing. Cars works. So you've got a car story. Your double A's fell out?
No, I brought my Prius in for its 5,000-mile checkup, which you have to. And I left it there because and anybody has a Prius, but I come down this big hill every day when I'm, you know, I live on top of a hill, and I come down the hill, and when I get to the bottom of the hill, my battery is charged, and it goes,
major coming down from the mountain?
Right, yeah. Okay. So I live on top of the, well, it's not on a mountain. Anyway, so my engine spins up and then goes down and spins, it does like 4 or 5, it goes, and then comes down, and it was, so anyway, when I brought it in the Toyota dealer, I said, this is what it's doing. So they're like, all right, well, we'll hold on to it for the day, and we'll go take a look at it, look at the engineers. They gave me this Camry.
Nice.
Nah.
No.
The new Camrys are nice.
I'm mocking you.
This one's a 92.
Nice. Oh.
And it's like it's this big no smoking sign in it, and it's got the, you know, courtesy car of, and then it's got the name of the dealer on the back, you know, that whole thing. So I look like a real schmo.
So, you know, when you're describing going down the hill and the car going vroom.
Yeah.
So I should preface this by saying I like the Priuses.
You also live on a hill, though.
Yes, and I like your car. It's cool. Yes,
thank you.
But when I hear you describe it that way, I think of the little zip cars where you put the plastic thing in, you pull it.
Exactly.
Goes,
yeah, it's.
I can picture your Prius and you're running along behind it trying to wind it up.
It's kind of like what it does. That's what it sounds. I know exactly what you're talking about. It does kind of sound like that. It's a little off-putting.
Yeah.
So you're looking for a car.
I'm getting there. Yeah, I'm. Part of it's because, you know, gas is pretty high and the 4Runner is not exactly...
But now, you know, it's not that high because we're going to get people from our fans in the UK are going to say, you don't know high, matey.
Compared to what we're used to.
Right.
Gas is high.
Yeah.
And now I'm not hauling my dogs around as much as I used to. So I don't need to have the 4Runner every day. So now I can think about, maybe go back to having a fun car, make that my daily driver.
Define a fun car.
Save some money on the commute. I'm looking at...
You're going to get another Chevette like you used to have?
So I've only owned one American car. It was not a Chevette.
Let's not say what it was, but it was...
It was something that I was not real happy with the service. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So, no, I'm thinking like maybe a TT S2000, something like that. I'm just kind of starting to poke around and see what I can find out there.
Midlife crisis car.
No, but I've had cars like that my whole life.
Right.
My first car was a red Fiat Spider.
It's a good car.
And then
when
later
it was running.
It looked very cool in the driveway sitting there.
Exactly. Dripping oil.
Yeah. And then not long after that, I had a Miata.
Right.
So this isn't new for me. I've always had midlife crisis cars.
Okay.
So, and it's just, you know, it'd be cool, especially right now. It's summer.
It's beautiful up here.
Oh, it'd be nice to have
this. The Northwest is one of the most fantastic places to be when the weather's nice. It's so beautiful out here.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, it beats the East Coast hands down, because right now everyone's back there roasting in humidity, and, well, you know what it was like.
Yeah. The one thing I'd like to do, though, is the weather the last 3 or 4 weeks has been really strange here. Monday through Friday has been gorgeous.
Right.
And then it's rained all day Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
It's done this a couple weeks in a row. This
sucks.
Is bizarre.
Got to take some time off so we can enjoy it.
Clearly.
So what we're going to need to get you a car, huh?
I don't know that I'm going to get a car, but I'm that itch is starting. I'm thinking about it. It might take a while, but I'm getting there. So what I really want is a 911, but I won't spend that kind of money. What I really want, if I'm not going to have a 911, is a Boxster. I'm not going to spend that kind of money.
Right.
So that leaves like TT convertibles, S2000s, things like that.
What else is up at that end? Does Toyota make one?
The
MR2? The
MR2 isn't around anymore, is it?
I don't think so.
I don't think they have anything that competes with those. I had an Audi, liked it, so the TT is interesting.
In fact, here's my car dealer calling me right now.
Seriously?
Yeah. Okay. Telling me that I can't take the call, though. Sorry, dude. I'll call you right back.
You could take it. It's the after show.
Exactly. Don't want to do that.
I don't know. I got to admit, I loved my Miata when I had it. I don't think I'm going to get another one. I want something just a hair... You know, more power, but you never know.
Like a 6-cylinder Miata? That would just be death.
No. But, well, there were a couple of, what were they called? Was it the Franken Miata? So my Miata had, it's been years, but like 120 horsepower or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Loved the car, but it was not not a muscle car.
It's a small car. It doesn't need it.
It's a fun little car to drive around. And someone in, I think it was Texas, had taken a Miata and hopped it up to over 350 horsepower.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. That was
down in Texas. You can do it. You just hit the and you go flying down the highway forever straight.
Well, it's Texas, where also you can apparently taser someone who's covered in gasoline, and then wonder why.
Don't know how that happened.
Yeah, that was that quote. Funny, that was a weird story. Fun. I mean, it wasn't exactly funny, but it was just like, you're kidding.
Yeah, how would you not know that this electricity is going to light someone on fire? This story's up. Go search online, you'll see it.
Yeah, and it was just like, wow. And that was one of those ones that it just flashed across everyone's IM.
Right.
And you got it from, you know, all four corners of the globe in, you know, an hour. The other one that was going around last night, and actually I may have started this, was somebody found one of those random quizzes on the internet. And this
internet
was the,
thing.
This was, yes. This was the How Evil Are You quiz.
Okay.
In roughly 20 questions. And
how evil are you?
I'm not that evil. I'm 62% evil, I think.
Uh-huh.
So I, of course, had to send it to my girlfriend, who's significantly more evil than I am. And I think you'll vouch for that.
No comment.
Yeah. and it gave her her score, which I don't remember exactly what it was, but she's more evil than I am. But then it gives a little comment with the score.
Right.
And the comment, her comment ended with, you know, something along the lines of, the people who love you must also fear you a lot. And I was like, yeah, uh-huh.
All right, that's it. We're going to wrap it up now because I have to. I have work to do and I want to put the show together so people can listen to this.
And you're going
to
go across the hall and watch Rumble Roses, aren't you?
I think he's done with that.
What's he watching now?
Nothing. I think he figured out we were overlooking over. now he's over at MSN Video watching videos. Who is this guy? What are we paying him to do?
When the show's over, we'll go find out. And next week, we'll fill everybody in.
All right.
He does work here, right?
That's a good question. We'll go find out. All right, that's it. Goodbye. What is this, the after show to the after show? I don't think I've ever done this before. But after E left, I realized there's something else I wanted to tell you, is that keep an eye on Xbox.com this week because they're actually redesigning it. It's going to launch, I think, probably Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Thursday, somewhere in the middle of the week. No new features, just kind of a cool little redesign. So keep an eye out for that on Xbox.com. All right, now we're done. This is really, truly the end of the show right now. This is it. Done.